State Farm. This is Jessica.
Hey, Jessica, Jerry Newman. Does State Farm offer more discounts to more drivers?
Yep, like the good driver discount.
So it's for good but not great drivers?
No, Jerry. There's also the multi-line discount.
For calling from multiple lines while driving.
You should never use a phone while driving.
I only make calls from my car when I'm stuck in a ditch or something.
Are you in a ditch?
Yes, I am.
State Farm offers more discounts to more drivers than any other insurance company. Get to a better state.
Give me a call. Your good neighbor State Farm agent, Susan Casper, at 659-5678.
Rich is just a really, really, really good guy. The term good egg isn't enough to describe him. He's also certified organic and free range. Rich puts the cap back on everything. The toothpaste, the olive oil, the shampoo, everything. He lets his 10-year-old nephew beat him at virtual tennis, even though he can straight-up slay his 10-year-old nephew in virtual tennis. When the toilet paper is running low, Rich replaces the roll on the actual holder, not just on the back of the toilet. Rich is texting and driving. Rich? No. What are you doing, Rich? I was just telling everyone how great you are. Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
When you need to know.
And then we have Ferryford Park, which will be in the middle of May. We're looking at a grand opening and ribbon cutting then.
On the air first, when seconds count.
There's still a lot of people around the country who are at risk for having this illness. We know that using masks and hand sanitation, keeping our distance, really makes a big difference.
The news team you've come to depend on.
It is one of the few cancers that we have that is preventable, meaning that we can detect precancerous things or things that can become cancer before they become cancer and remove them.
Your official weather station.
Really, once the county put the red flag warning out, so to speak, we had a lot of people stay home. I don't know why, if you can't look out the window and see that you need to stay home.
When you need to know, WILO.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
Welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent, Susan Casper. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. We're now going to be joined by former Frankfort High School state pole vault champion and currently out at Notre Dame, Colton Crum. Colton, good morning. How you doing, man?
Good morning, Ken. How are you?
Doing
well.
Doing great. So, nice and cool out, isn't it?
I know. It just never lets up. East South Bend to Frankfort, it seems like it's always hot or it's always too cold or something, but that's all right. It makes us tough.
Yeah, it does. So how are things going?
Things are going well. So I actually wrapped up with school a couple weeks ago, and now I'm in the thick of summer school again. It seems like it never ends, and it may not for a few more years, as we'll kind of talk through a little bit. But I actually graduated with my bachelor's this spring. And so super excited about that, and I'm actually enrolled in a master's program right now. So that'll continue to extend my eligibility and continue to jump for the Irish. So really excited about that.
So you've now done that for 2 years athletically, but you've already graduated academically though.
Yeah, so I graduated in 3 years with a degree in business analytics, and actually I'm only jumped, so I have two more remaining indoor seasons, one due to COVID, and then I'm just it's obviously just my third year. I have one more after that, and then as far as outdoor seasons go, I have three more. So the challenge for me been this whole year and a half has been trying to figure out, what is the next 2 years look like? What's the next 4 years look like academically, athletically, and in my career? And it's taken a lot of, you know, soul searching and a lot of, you know, reflection with my family to kind of figure out how I want to navigate the next couple years. And we're slowly figuring it out. We're a little slow to learn sometimes, but it involves getting, you know, graduate degrees and keep going up the tree academically. So it's worked out, and we're really excited about that.
So have you narrowed it down to two or three things academically that you really want to get into? And if so, what are they?
Yeah, so my undergraduate was in business, which it was good, but it wasn't my cup of tea. So it worked out where I was able to learn what I wanted to learn. But this graduate program I'm really a lot more excited about, and it's in computer engineering. And that'll be only a one-year master's. So thankfully, you know, with how my scholarship is set up, you know, any time that I'm in school there, it's going to be paid for. So whether it's undergrad, whether it's a master's program, whether it's law school, as long as I have eligibility and I have three more, it's going to be covered. And so what we're trying to do is be very, very diligent, strategic about it, and how we, you know, kind of spend that money. And, you know, it's non-transferable. I wish I could give some to you, but I can't. And it's something, you know, you really, really have to think about, because it's been a gift. And I got really lucky with how everything was set up a few years ago. And so I'm going to continue with the master's in computer engineering, and if I enjoy it, then I'll probably try to do the PhD, and we'll just kind of go from there and see how it goes.
You know, you got a pretty good start on computers when you were in Richard Salee's television class, though, over here at Frankfurt.
Yep, absolutely. So there's been some gears turning for years there. I'm excited to combine both the business aspects I've learned and the software. So, you know, pretty much all summer I've been in summer school again, and I've been, you know, developing some of this stuff on the side, and so and of course jumping. So it seems like there's always one way or another I'm getting pulled, and sometimes that's just how it goes, and you have to be diligent about your time, and kind of things will work out. So excited about that.
Yeah, you have to be organized.
Yeah, that's something I feel like, you know, I continuously, even like this past week, I was talking to somebody and I was like, you know, I don't know how I did some of this stuff in undergrad, because I was just kind of, you know, doing it at, you know, as it came and, you know, not planning things through. So it seems like you can always get more efficient. You can always, you know, be more conscious about things. And so I'm learning, and, you know, I'm still very, very young, and there's a lot to do, and I'm very excited about that.
How much of an issue was COVID for you guys? I know we talked a little bit about the last time you were on. We talked some about that, but overall, now that you've had the year to kind of sit back and reflect a little bit, how big a deal was that for you guys?
You know, it was frustrating. A lot of it, you know, got in the way of training. A lot of just the protocols, right? So, you know, we had to get tested, and the testing was at 7:30 in the morning. You know, and I didn't have class till like 11 on some days, so I'm not one to get up early for fun, and so it was just kind of frustrating and very inconvenient. I mean, for me, it was just very inconvenient, and I'm sure, you know, everyone else felt the same way. It just got in the way. There was a lot of things that should have been probably done differently, and I feel like, you know, I feel like I handled it as best as I possibly could. You know, sure, there's some things I'd like to change, things I would like to have done differently as a team, especially. You know, we traveled a lot this spring. I mean, every weekend I was gone from end of March to, you know, mid to end May. And so what happened was we were able, you know, going through airports, you know, it was difficult, in the heat of things, and, with protocols, you know, you couldn't eat at certain restaurants, you couldn't do sit down, and some of them couldn't have takeout. So I remember my teammate and I actually, we ended up like walking through the drive through of like Hardee's in Mississippi, just because we're trying to find something to eat and something that was, you know, congruent with all the protocols. So, you know, it is what it is. I'm glad that it's, you know, somewhat behind us, and we can kind of move forward and get on with normal life.
excuse me. I'm still going to try and qualify for the Olympics or not?
Yeah. So the qualifiers are slowly running out. I had to jump something like 18.5, 18.6. And this year it just didn't come together. You know, there's a lot of reasons for that, you know, as we reflect on that, and a lot of challenges that we kind of had to go through that I feel like were more difficult than they probably should have been, with my jumping development, And so we're still gonna jump this summer. We're still gonna push really hard. Is it something that I'm hit? I'm going right now. No, I mean there's a lot of guys that are jumping really high, and you know, obviously a lot of them are older, and it's kind of their last kind of window to get in and do it. And unfortunately, the last couple, you know, I didn't jump what we thought I could jump, and that's all right. That's something, you know, we're working through and we're getting better at, continually developing, and so we're excited about the future and what's to come.
Though, you know, even though you didn't get to some of the levels that you want to, you were still pretty consistent though all year though, weren't you?
Yeah, so I was really excited being the indoor and outdoor ACC champion. So I got both of those meets done and fended off Virginia Tech and all the other vault heavy schools we have in the ACC. And so, you know, that was an important meet to have, because I've gone every year and I've been top, you know, I was fourth as a freshman indoor, and I was second, you know, last in 2020 indoor season. And so this year I really wanted to punch those through, and we got it done, and they were nerve wracking meets. So there's a lot of, you know, a lot of times I was calling Dad right after the meet, and he's not watching them anymore. So he's prefers to let me handle it, and we talk after. So super excited about that.
So I mean, you know, and you know, you did have some good things there, as you said, you were ACC champion. But I guess my question is, how, you know, the ACC is known basically as a football conference, somewhat as a basketball conference, but overall, how good is the ACC in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, the thing with the ACCs is, you know, there's a lot of schools, right? So you have Florida State in there, you've got Miami in there, Virginia Tech, and they go, you know, we go against, you know, all of those really, really, you know, heavily athletic schools. And the thing that's cool about that attracted me to the ACC conference in general is, you know, you have Notre Dame's academic prestige put up against those schools, right? So the Ivy League conference is a very weak conference historically for track and field. You know, the distance teams are generally pretty good, but as far as the other marks, I remember when I was getting recruited in high school, you know, I think that like what won the conference, the Ivy League conference, like I would have won like my sophomore or like junior year of high school. Mm-hmm. And so that was something like when we were picking a school, when we were having these conversations with these coaches, you know, I didn't want to walk in and just be the best, because that's like, there's no development. I wouldn't get me to the places I wanted to go. And the thing about Notre Dame is that, you know, yeah, you know, it's a great school, but you're going to be put up against everybody. I mean, Florida State, you know, has national champions in the sprints all the time. You know, you're talking about Virginia Tech, you know, Boston College. Some of these schools just turn out kids that are just complete powerhouses, and, you know, may or may not have the academic standards that we have, but we like that. That's a challenge, and at Notre Dame, we're all about that. And so that's something that's been really pretty cool about it.
Yeah, and the other thing that the Ivy League didn't have is you wouldn't have somebody to push you, and that makes you better in practice every day.
Right, right. And that's what I keep telling Coach to, you know, when we go out and we're recruiting, you know, I want the very best pole vaulters that we can get at Notre Dame that, you know, have a high enough SAT score to get in. You know, that's what we want, and we're trying to be competitive. And that's something I've really missed out on the past couple of years, and thankfully last year I've been getting teammates, you know, that are in the, you know, 16 feet range. But man, you know, I really miss being pushed on a practice level. And that's something, you know, you can try as hard as you want, but when there's somebody beside you with another pole that's clearing a bar that you're not, you know, it kind of changes the dynamic. And I'm enjoying that. So that's something in the future, as we look to change things and moving forward, is to get, you know, better competition on a daily, you know, practice basis. And that's something we're kind of pushing towards.
You know, you said you weren't going to worry about you're not going to be able to do anything with the Olympics this year. But if you did, do you think they should be held this year, considering everything that's going on in Japan right now?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of obviously changes globally. I know in Japan, like you mentioned, there's a lot of things, you know, shaken up. You know, it's been pushed back a year. I mean, I have no you know, say in what they do. I know that Notre Dame's kind of their way of handling it has been different than others, and obviously I respect other people's opinions about it, and it's really whatever they decide, and like I said, you know, the athletes are at the mercy of the administration, and mm-hmm. that's that has been, you know, the biggest, takeaway, I guess, from COVID at Notre Dame. It's for high school athletics, for everything. And so, you know, the athletes, have a say. They obviously, it's about them, but, it's a little bit bigger, and there's some other forces at play that we kind of have to obey by and respect and kind of move forward in that regard.
You know, I just thought of this the other day, since there really is no pro track season, what are you going to do, or how much longer you intend on competing? Just through your college career, maybe getting a shot at the Olympics, or is that where you going to be at?
Yeah, so that's something obviously I'm continually talking about with, you know, my coaches and my father and my family. It's challenging, right? So the pole vault community, you know, as a professional pole vaulter, you're not going to raise a family on that kind of money.
No.
You're not going to raise a family for 6 months on that kind
true,
of salary. And getting a Notre Dame degree was, and I told my family this is the greatest achievement of my life so far. And so, you know, the jumping has been exceptional and continuing to grow and get better. And I'm going to push with both feet on that. You know, I'm only 21. There's a lot of life ahead of me as far as jumping goes. I shouldn't actually hit my stride until my mid 20s.
Okay.
Just from the years of technically developing, and obviously strength and things like that. But again, you know, in the next couple, you know, years, I'm going to focus on my education. I'm going to, you know, set up the things I need to for a family later down the road. And I want to be able to, kind of be able to expand and do some really cool things later on. And I don't want to handicap myself in that regard. You know, that's something that's been challenging in the past, is trying to balance the academics and the athletics. And, you know, it doesn't always work sometimes. And, you know, with the jumping, we're very excited about it. There's a lot of great things that are happening behind the scenes that may or may not be reflected in the heights. But we're going to still jump very high. And for now, I'm going to stay at Notre Dame and finish the master's up. You know, we'll have a conversation in a couple months, and I'll be closer to finishing that. And I'll get a better read on, you know, the PhD or a different school or different graduate school or what have you. So
okay.
Very excited about the future. And that's the thing. I've got a lot of options. Sometimes that's both a gift and a curse. So.
And that's what you want, is options.
So, yeah, absolutely.
Anything else you want to add before I let you go?
No, just thank you so much for having us on.
Hey, anytime, you know that.
Thank you so much.
So, Colton, thanks much for the time. Best of luck to you. Take good care, and we'll catch you down the line here, okay?
Okay, will do. Thank you, Ken.
All right, thanks, Colton. Take care. Bye-bye. That was Colton Crum, former state pole vault champion here from Frankfort, now up at Notre Dame. We're going to take a break now. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent, Susan Casper.
As an 18-year-old, I let my mistakes kind of take over my life. I was 0.5 credits away from completing high school, and I didn't do it.
10 years later, at age 28, Jackie finished her high school diploma.
When I found out that I was pregnant, I know that I had to do something for myself if I wanted to make her a better person and provide a better life for her. My family never stopped pushing for me to be better because they knew what I could become and who I could become as a person. My support team is amazing. The educational director, my sister, and even my 7-year-old daughter has just been more than the support that I could ask for. I've been given an opportunity, and I'm just thankful for it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one source for the latest news in Clinton and surrounding counties. But that's not all we have to offer. Listen to archived audio from the past 5 programs on the Party Line program every day. Plus, make sure you chime in our weekly poll question at the bottom of the page. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper.
State Farm, this is Jessica.
Hey, Jessica, Jerry Newman. Does State Farm offer more discounts to more drivers?
Yep, like the Good Driver discount.
So it's for good but not great drivers?
No, Jerry. There's also the multi-line discount.
For calling from multiple lines while driving.
You should never use a phone while driving.
I only make calls from my car when I'm stuck in a ditch or something.
Are you in a ditch?
Yes, I am.
State Farm offers more discounts to more drivers than any other insurance company. Get to a better state.
Give me a call. Your good neighbor State Farm agent, Susan Casper, at 659-5678.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
Welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm Insurance agent, Susan Casper. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. We're going to get into a subject now which has not been publicized all that much, but I'm really looking forward to this, as we're going to have a very special person here on the phone. We're going to have immigration attorney Rob Seeger. Rob, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, Ken. Thank you for having me on.
Not a problem. This has to deal with the name, image, likeness thing that the NCAA, I think, is going to decide. I think it's going to be this week. That's the last thing I heard anyway. But the group that you're dealing with is international student athletes, and they're kind of out in limbo, aren't they?
They are. And it's interesting we're talking about this, considering, you know, the headquarters of the NCAA is about 60 miles away from where you are. And, mm-hmm. and They're thinking about this too, and sort of my lane is, so what I've been doing is I've believe it or not, I've been an immigration attorney for going on 25 years now, and my practice centers on both professional and collegiate athlete sports, and in addition to that, I teach this at Villanova Law School, which is a law school here on the East Coast, and we've been thinking about this and talking to our stakeholders about how to the extent that NIL allows, and my populace is the foreign international student athletes, to be compensated, we can get into ultimately what that means, how is that ultimately going to impact the ability of these foreign players that are here to continue to stay, and more importantly, colleges and universities' abilities to continue to bring the foreign athlete over based on how they're classified now as students.
You know, the other thing of it is that international students usually are not that much involved in football, but they are in all the other sports like basketball, tennis, and all these other things.
Yeah, I mean, that's really true. And I know this personally because I was never talented enough to swing a baseball or hit a baseball or throw a football. I was in one of these sports in my own experience. I was a rower, and the rowing community and the soccer community and the tennis community, golf, all, you know, swimming for that matter, are all of these sports that are, you know, quote, highly recruiting foreign national athletes. In fact, there's a school here at Rutgers University in New Jersey. I'm pretty close with some of the folks in the administration over there, and we've had this conversation where they've really made a business plan to make the team better. They're recruiting from abroad. So you see it here and there, like, for example, in professional football, more closer to you than me, you'll see every once in a while roster player come over from Germany or even Samoa. So it's in the Big Four, except outside of hockey, of course, not as prevalent, but definitely in the college and university level, there's a lot of talent coming from outside the U.S.
And reading this thing I have here from ESPN that they had put out earlier this week, it seems like the visa that the players, the international students apply for is a big key in how they basically can or cannot. It looks like mostly it's going to be cannot as of right now.
Yeah. So it can get heady and get kind of boring, but sort of to set the landscape, you know, if you talk about U.S. immigration law, it really is a defined space. And to state it another way, if you pull the regulations and you think about how do people come here, it's been well thought out. We have a visa classification system that, you know, starts with the letter A for an A visa, which is for people who are diplomats from foreign countries, and it goes all the way down to, I think there's a U visa, which is, you know, dedicated for those who are victims of crimes. In the middle there, we're talking about really the dichotomy is two separate visas. And when you look at students coming from abroad to study at Notre Dame, to take Collins' example, for example, those colleges are applying, or rather the students are applying for a visa called F visa, F as in Frank. And so the optics are that here we have a foreign student who is coming in to essentially take classes. The athletics is sort of a sub-skill or sub-activity in the minds of the immigration service, and they come over here and play their sport. But primarily, that visa is reserved for those who are here just to study. And on the completely on the other side of the spectrum, take any hockey team in the United States. All of these athletes coming over to play get a completely different visa, which is a P visa. P as in Patrick, and that visa is a work visa, and so they can come over here, you know, play for the Minnesota Wild. They can obtain sponsorship deals. They can do whatever they want that's related to their sport and be paid for it. So, as you can see, if you take NIL and put that in the middle of these two visas, you can see the potential impact which created by a real conflict that you have a body of, if you start, you know, paying foreign athletes for, you know, whether sponsorships or appearances or even something as simple and mundane as autographs, do you put that population of visa holders in jeopardy from a federal level of being able to continue to, you know, essentially say they're a student?
Do you think that the NCAA will pass the NIL this week or whenever it comes up here? And if so, in what form do you think it's going to wind up being in?
Well, so that's a great discussion that I love to have with my students at Villanova, because it just sort of takes on a life of its own. Meaning, you know, you get into sort of the law, but you really get into, I'm sure, you know, what you've likely talked about on your show and your listeners have thought about is the policy. And I would wager that the NCAA is just really struggling with this because of just what the NCAA stands for, amateurism and all the concepts that goes with. I think that this issue is so far down the road that I think it will pass, because, you know, I'm dating myself. I think, you know, the world has changed a lot since we used to go to school and we used to go there, and, you know, my own experience was I frankly, you know, owe my university a ton of thanks for having the athletics be the push that put me over into a school I probably didn't really belong at academically. But taking that, and when I went there, I felt a real sense of loyalty and commitment to the coaching staff that I had to make it work because they put their trust in me. Well, sort of the world's changing a little bit, and you know, even if you look at, you know, the length of time that your average college basketball player spends at school and then jumps off to be drafted, you can, it's just an issue of, you know, showing that those optics have changed, that, you know, that these students essentially are going there to take a jump to the professional league. So, you know, the mindset of the students and those behind them have changed to the extent that a lot of them are like, well, look, if I'm here bringing, you know, X multiples of millions to my university in revenue, and I'm essentially getting a jersey with my name on it, well, quote, that's not fair to me. Push it back to the NCAA, and where their positioning has always been, we're promoting, we stand for amateurism and all the good things that, you know, the experience of playing collegiate sports brings to you and to our community as a whole, as a university, has dramatically shifted. So I can't see a scenario, frankly, Ken, where this isn't going to come out in some form, and the states are going to have to deal with it.
You know, if the international students, when they do become pros and get money for some of their stuff, would that change their classification from a labor and employment perspective?
Great, great question. And my answer to you is I strongly believe, yes. Because think about, one of the tenets of this F visa, and the way our immigration structure works is it sounds cliche, but it's sort of true. The easier it is for you to come to the country, the more restrictions our government puts on you. Mm-hmm. So it's not to get too far down the road. You know, every single day through, you know, JFK or wherever, business folks are coming in to attend a meeting there in Indianapolis. Folks are coming in on my side to, you know, come visit the Liberty Bell here in the city of Philadelphia as tourists. And our government says we're going to vet you through the criminal process, but we're really not going to do much more. We're just going to put a time limit on you. And so what that means is that we're going to be able to put all these restrictions on you. You can't work. You can't overstay. You can't switch to another visa class. That's the restriction. So when you come to students, the government says, you know, you can attend your university. You can. And as long as the school accepts you, we'll give you the visa. But you're here to study. You can get an on-campus job, you know, 20 hours a week, but you can't go really do anything else and get paid for it. And that's a pretty, you know, black letter law restriction. No compensation.
Right.
So by starting to pay them, And really, it's kind of interesting because it can be de minimis. Like, folks have asked me, well, does that mean they have to get a sponsorship deal for Nike for $50,000 to wear their shoes? No, it could be as little as the booster club decides that, you know, when the family comes in, we're going to put them up at the local, the JW down there in downtown Indianapolis. So the point is from a labor and employment perspective, if you start paying athletes, you struggle to change their classification over from a student to an employee, which is a whole nother potentially big issue with the Department of Labor. Now you essentially have employees of the university. Are they employees? Are they students? It can get really messy.
Mm-hmm. And it also gets very confusing and very mind-boggling for John Q. Public, who says, you know, we got all these immigrants coming in down the southern part of the country, and now we're getting in from all other parts of the country. And I just wonder psychologically if that isn't play into some of these reasons for some of these laws that are out there.
Well, it's funny you said that, because that at the end of our semester, one of my students brought that up, and they said, does that throw a wrench into the system? And it got so far in our discussion will that become a way for folks to bifurcate, you know, the long-standing visa systems, like, for example, you know, using their talent in sport as a way to enter the country through the university. And once they're here and they're paid, they can sort of go in whatever direction they want to go. So I do concur with you that's potentially out there. And you're right. Oh, you know, and I've been doing this long enough to say, you know, policy is always tied to someone's ideas. So I think you're right there.
Okay. Is there anything else we need to talk about or you want to bring up before I let you go?
No, Ken, I just appreciate you. And as this develops, you know, you can always, you know, I'd love to talk to you again. And,
okay.
I hope you have a great weekend.
I hope you do the same. And I have a feeling we're going to be talking again, because I have a feeling even after the ruling, it's not going to be dead for a long time.
Agree. Well, thank you again for your time, and have a good weekend.
All right. You too, Rob. Thanks a lot. Take care.
Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye. That's been Rob Seeger, who's an immigration attorney on the East Coast. We've been talking about the name, image, likeness situation with the NCAA. It's going to happen this week. But right now, it'll be interesting to see how the international student athletes get involved with this, because right now, they're not in a part of that picture. That's going to wrap it up for this week. Our thanks to our guests, Red Niehaus, the Frankfort High School Athletic Director, Colton Crown, former state pole vault champion from Frankfort and currently up at Notre Dame, and Rob Seeger, the immigration attorney on the East Coast. So take care, have a great week, and you take care of yourselves. We'll see you back here next week. Bye-bye.
This has been Inside the Huddle on WILO, brought to you by Susan Casper of State Farm Insurance in Frankfort. Join us next Saturday at 9 a.m. for another edition of Inside the Huddle on WILO.